Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So there is one thing that I do have to address, and that is something that, trust me, I was disappointed on Friday night, too. I was disappointed. I watched the first pick, no surprise, Matthew Schaefer. I watched the second pick. There was some talk there on ESPN, though I've already complained about the talking heads there, about could this be Anton Frondell with the second pick? And I'm like, Lord help me if Michael Mesa ends up a Blackhawk. And it was not. It was Michael Mesa. And then Anton Frondell, as expected, went number three. And then here came number four. And we had all heard throughout the day the Islanders were being told, you got to get to four. We heard a report that the Islanders and their owner, he was willing to do whatever in order to get to number four to take James Hagans. And I wanted Hagans. And if not Hagans, probably Porter Martone. Maybe Caleb Denoyer if he was there. So I sat there with bated breath. And Tony Finau, that golfer, made the pick for the Utah Mammoth. And I waited, and he wouldn't shut up. And finally, he said with that pick, they were going to take Caleb Denoyer. And I got up and I said, yes, yes. And I started singing Proud to Be an American, thinking that the Nashville Predators, in the search for the great number one center that they have never had, were going to take the American James Hagans. And as we waited, Gary Bettman went to the podium. And because, unlike all the other sports where in the first round the commissioner reads the card, Gary Bettman sent it to Shea Weber, who was dialing in on Zoom. And I don't know if he unmuted his mic at the beginning or not. I kid. And Shea Weber said, with the fifth pick, the Nashville Predators select, and I was waiting for it, and I heard one of those Canadian cities. We all know they all kind of sound the same. Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Sacagnoia, whatever. And I knew it wasn't Hagans. And then I heard Brady Martin. And I just dropped. My mouth opened. And I just sat. For like 5 minutes, I just sat there with my mouth open. Didn't say a word until Charles Barkley came on to make the next pick after a commercial break. So I was upset. Make no mistake about it. And I would not have made that pick of Brady Martin. I would have picked James Hagans, as we all know. But I wasn't surprised that that's what Barry Trotz did. And yet, I have to talk about the fan reaction to this pick, because I thought the fan reaction was a little ridiculous. And that even comes from somebody like me, who was disappointed that Martin was the pick over Hagans. The sentiment on social media when it came to the Predator fans on Friday night was that the Predators went totally off the board and took somebody who was absolutely, positively not worthy of the fifth overall pick. They took a guy who was ranked as the seventh best player. And when it comes to ranked as the seventh best player, the question has to be ranked by whom? And let's remove the first four players in the draft, which now leaves us with probably four more. Hagans, McQueen, Martone, and Martin. Well, what if one guy doesn't have the heart and the Predators realized that and talked to a coach and the coach said, yeah, you know, he's a really, what if one guy doesn't have the back like Roger McQueen, though we'll get to him in a second. What if one guy doesn't have the back like Roger McQueen? Take him out, okay. You have to take the best option to you. It's not as if Brady Martin was in a trough towards the end of the first round, and the Predators said, we believe in him. The last time Predator fans got excited about where somebody was ranked as far as what the gurus thought, it was Ellie Tolvanen, who was ranked high in 2017 and fell to them with the second to last pick in the first round. Point being, Brady Martin was not some sort of off the radar, off the board pick. Absolutely was in the discussion. According to Brian Burke, who I actually met at a wedding last month, of all things, according to Brian Burke, he apparently says, players go in troughs. The way it worked out in this draft, the first trough was Matthew Schaefer in a class by himself. Number two was Misa and Frondell. Number three in that trough, according to the people that would know, Hagens, Martone, Desnoyers. Then the next trough was Brady Martin and with Victor Eklund, Jake O'Brien, Roger McQueen, those guys, to kind of round out the top eight or nine picks in the draft. Now, I believe when you're picking that high, it's because you stink and you need to take a swing at the most talented player. I don't think they did. I think they took the most competitive player. But to act as if they went and took Austin Watson or they took Colton Sissons is a little ridiculous. And I agree. With James Hagens, he kind of represented that number one center the Predators have never had and the opportunity to take him. And the Predators took somebody that has less upside. But they still expect Brady Martin to be their number one center. It wasn't like they took a goalie with the fifth pick. It wasn't like they took a defenseman with the fifth pick. And so to all the fans out there that just think, this, what were they doing? This is crazy. I remember when the Raiders took Darius Hayward Bay ahead of Michael Crabtree in the 2009 NFL draft. And I remember sitting there and it was like, the Raiders select Darius Hayward Bay, wide receiver out of Maryland. And I remember being on the draft stage that night at Nissan Stadium, or not Nissan Stadium, downtown, when the then Las Vegas Raiders, I think they might have been Oakland at the time. I think it was the last year's the Oakland Raiders. When the then Oakland Raiders took Cleveland Furl with the fourth overall pick in 2019, I was like, what? And so let's not get too carried away and act as if the Predators drafted the 50th overall prospect in this draft with the fifth pick. They drafted, at worst, the seventh or eighth prospect in this draft. So you got to be fair, okay? Is this a pick that I would have made? No, I would have taken Hagens. Was it my second choice? No, I would have taken Martone. Why? Because I believe the way you win in the NHL is by putting the little black puck in the little white net. I don't think you win cups by out-toughing people. I don't think the Florida Panthers out-toughed you. I think the Florida Panthers just have a lot of talent. And before you tell me, well, Brady Martin, he profiles to be like a Sam Bennett. Right, and the Predators need an Alexander Barkov before they need a Sam Bennett. But Sam Bennett's no bum either. So maybe just bring it down a notch a little bit with the criticism. Again, I didn't like the pick. I thought it was Barry Trotz, the coach, making a Barry Trotz pick, saying, this is my guy. But at the same time, it wasn't as if they went completely insane. And Barry did something. He talked about it after the fact that I didn't like. I can't remember if it was in his interview with EJ Raddick or if it was his interview with the media after on Friday night. But he was like, you know, and according to some of the other clubs we talked to, I mean, they had Brady Martin pegged right where we had him pegged. Okay, Ran, I don't need the, oh, I got a text message from a general manager who said you stole my pick. I don't need that. But Brady Martin was not some bum. Brady Martin was not considered to be the 28th best player in this draft who they went Leroy Jenkins and picked fifth. Again, I would have picked him, and I don't like the trade they made today, but let's not get too carried away. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Apparently, Mitch Marner has now officially been traded from Toronto to Vegas. Somebody has to explain to me how it is every year the Las Vegas Golden Knights trade for every good player. Jack Eichel was on the market. I was told, can't have him. They traded for him. Noah Hanifin was on the market. They traded for him. Mark Stone was on the market. They traded for him. Thomas Hertl was on the market. They traded for him. And now Mitch Marner is on the market, and they traded for him and signed him to a $12 million a year deal. Somebody has to explain this to me, how this works. Is it as simple as you just keep taking the players they don't want? Cody Glass? Like Jonathan Marchessault? Like Nick Hague, who they acquired today? Somebody has to explain how Vegas gets all these good players every year. Every year, There's a top guy available. He ends up in Vegas. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. Plus, Barry Trotz said it. I don't know if I believe it, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're going to force it. I'll explain. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 1025. What is the game?
On Martin, is part of maybe why you wanted him the level, the speed at which maybe he could be at the NHL level? Is that part of it, or are you not worried about that?
No, not really. But I can tell you, he's one of those players that you're gonna come at training camp and you're gonna go, this kid's not coming here just for training camp and development camp. He's coming here to take someone's spot, and he's very capable of it. I just believe that. We'll let it play out, but knowing his mentality, just watching in the short time that we got to see him and everything that the scouting staff has said about him, and like he'll push people out of a job if they're not careful. That's just, I think his mentality is that he comes and brings it every night and practice and in games, and you got to be aware.
Translation from Barry Trotz: Brady Martin's going to be on the team next year, and I am skeptical of wanting Brady Martin on the Predators next year simply because I heard Craig Button say on TSN that no player in this year's draft is ready to play right in the NHL right away. And usually when it comes to the draft, the guys that play right away are the guys that go one or two overall. But Brady Martin, I mean, Trotz just has a freaking Woody for Brady Martin. And I think the other thing is, I do think that Trotz is going to feel the need to prove that he made the right pick. And so here's how I view the options with Brady Martin. Ultimately, I think Trotz believes that Brady Martin will be the number one center of the Predators and will eventually be the captain of the team, which means that he's going to wear the captain's patch or whatever. This year, because of Martin's toughness, I think they're going to start Brady Martin as their second line center. So when they go to camp, maybe he doesn't start the first day as their second line center. Lawrence Taylor started practice on the third team, had one play, then he moved up to the second team, had one play, and then he went up to the first team, and Lawrence Taylor never saw the second or the third team ever again. I think Brady Martin is going to be the second line center for the Predators. And I think the Predators are going to say, you know what? He's so tough, and he's so determined, and he's so smart, and he's such a grinder, and Steven Stamkos and Michael Bunting are going to love it, so he's playing with them. So if you're filling out the top six right now, just based off Trotz's comments of, I think he's going to come in here and take somebody's job, I'm going to tell you, Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Marchessault on one line, you don't want Marchessault playing on a line with O'Brien or with Martin, because he'll go crazy. Stamkos, Martin, Bunting on the second line. Hala, Evangelista, and Svechkov on the third line. And then, you know, Michael McCarron and Cole Smith and whomever on the LaRue on the fourth line. I wouldn't, just based off of what I heard, again, from Craig Button, who's TSN's draft guru, I wouldn't put Brady Martin in the NHL right away. I think what I'd do, because I believe that Barry Trotz views the top six of the Predators in the future being some combination of Martin is the number one center, Edstrom is the number two center, Wood on one of the wings, Kimmel on the other second line wing, on the left wing, and then, I don't know, who would Reed Schaefer, I guess, would be on one of the right wings. And then my guess is that Forsberg would still probably fit in there at some. I think I would start Martin at Milwaukee. If you really believe that he is the top guy, you know, the future number one center of the Predators, and you think he's the captain, send him to Milwaukee, where Ryan O'Reilly's brothers, they're going to be there for his 19th straight season, and put him on the first line along with Kemmel or along with Wood, and let him grow and let him get some success in professional hockey, and then call him up to the Preds if you want. But I'm just telling you, based on the way Trotz was talking, based on the way that Trotz says they need to win now, based on the fact that their second line center as of right now is Fedor Svechkov, and he's not very good, I think Brady Martin's going to be second line center for the Nashville Predators. Just calling it now. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One texter says, I will be absolutely shocked if Brady Martin plays next year. Does not fit Trotz's MO, but he may force it, like you're saying. But let's solo our role. Even if Trotz puts him on the roster, they'll bury him with McCarron and Smith. The Preds management is an absolute dumpster fire. Just watch other organizations that have competent general managers. I mean, I think my thing is when it comes to the general managers and I look at the other teams, I feel like the other teams keep taking advantage of you. It's like Jersey wanted to get out of the Eric Halla thing. What did they do? They dumped him on you and you gave him a pick. Vegas needs to get rid of a defenseman because he's going to make $5.5 million to be on the third pair. So they get your $2 million third pair defenseman. They get Colton Sissons at $1.5 million to play in the bottom six so they can go get Mitch Marner $12 million. That's what bothers me. Glenn says, you're right, Jared. How does Vegas trade for every single good player when the Predators just seem to look around for cheap or old players that are past their prime? All the teams I will root for will never win a championship, and it is so undeniably sad. Again, it's a downstretch. I've been through times where it looked like the Titans were for sure going to win the Super Bowl or the Predators were for sure going to win the Cup. Not that they've done it. But I've been through those moments where it looks like they're going to win it and they don't win it. And so I slow your roll down on, hey, they'll never be any good. But I would say right now, I don't love it. Mark in Ashland City says Brady Martin will play 5 to 9 games to start, and then he will be sent back to junior hockey. That way they won't burn a year of his contract, and he can develop more. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be mistaken, I haven't looked this up, I think it's 8 games. I think it's 8 games that you're allowed to play in the NHL before you burn a year or don't burn a year. My guess would be Martin will start the beginning of the year for the first 8 games with the big club, and he'll probably be their second center. Like, he's probably the second best center on the team right now behind O'Reilly, that they'll probably keep him. Again, that's just a hunch, just my gut. One texter says, the only decent right-hand defenseman left is Brent Burns, and I don't know about a 40-year-old defenseman with a beard. Is Cody Ceci not still out there? I mean, I agree with you that the right-shot defensemen all stink that are left now, and all the guys I want. Blake or Rasmus Anderson, who I've been talking about, sounds like he's going to Vegas. Like, I mean, again, Vegas gets every good player. I don't understand. I don't get it, et cetera. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on our program. We'll get to more of your phones here on Stillman and Company. And again, the trade. The trade. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The Nashville Predators making an overnight trade, which has since been made official. The Predators traded Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon to the Vegas Golden Knights for left-handed defenseman Nick Hague in a conditional third-round pick. The condition on that pick is that it becomes a second-round pick if the Vegas Golden Knights win 2 rounds in the 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, at the time, Derek, when the reporting was coming out that this trade was being made, it was Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon for Nick Hague. And Nick Hague was being signed to a 4-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. And when I saw that, I said, this trade doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And now that it's out, that the Predators are also getting a conditional third-round pick in the deal, because they are retaining half of Colton Sissons' salary, it makes me feel a smidge better. I emphasize that word, smidge better.
There you go. That was Vengen. And I'm just kind of reading up on this Nick Hague stuff. I mean, the one guy Vengen sent me, Nick Hague acquired and signed for a $4 million by $4.5 million deal by Nashville as a very large third pair defenseman who clears the crease, sometimes drops the gloves, and spends as little time with the puck as he possibly can. Doesn't that sound like a young Luke Shen? Nick Hague traded to Nashville and signs. This is AFP Analytics, which is followed by Willie. So make of that what you will. Nick Hague traded to Nashville and signs a four-year, $5.5 million per year contract. Good on him and his agent. We can oftentimes come up with comps to justify a deal, even if we don't agree with them. We couldn't hear the acquisition cost plus the contract is really questionable for the team. Now, maybe they caught wind that he and Marchessault are good buddies, or that he can keep Marchessault in line, and maybe that's part of the reason for the money, but I think I'd rather just trade Marchessault back to Vegas than take on Nick Hague and see if he can keep Marchessault in line, if that's in fact what they were doing or why they did it. Greg Wyshynski says, the cost of acquisition for Nick Hague was fine. I think he'll make them tougher to play against at 5-on-5 like everyone else. I think the AAV on the new deal is crazy, but Trotz is hoping that a rising cap plus new assistant coach Luke Richardson would be helping Hague find another level, make it sane. Here's what I'd say. If you think Luke Richardson can take Nick Hague up to a level that he'd be worth $5.5 million, then pay him $2 million, and when he makes $5 million, you'll look really smart. Well, the cap's going up. I guess the cap's not going up in Florida, where Aaron Ekblad, who is the first pair right shot defenseman for the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, is going to make $6.1 million, while Nick Hague is going to make $5.5 million. So like Adam said, you know, hey, the draft pick in return, make it a smidge better. But that's about it. 615-737-1025 here on the program. If you want to weigh in, one texter into the text line says, ever since the Luke Shin flip by Pittsburgh, I could tell Trotz was going to be the guinea pig for every general manager in the league. This has become fleece central, and there has to be more trades that are coming down the pipe. I mean, between the Fabro thing, again, the Predators are looking so desperately for a top or second pair right shot defenseman. And I'm not going to pretend to know what Dante Fabro did or didn't do when he was with the Columbus Blue Jackets this year, although I heard he played on their top pair with Zach Werenski. And I'm like, okay, if you need this defenseman, he's $4.5 million, why'd you waive him? And at that point, when somebody else like that goes somewhere, then don't you have to consider changing the coach? I mean, I guess they changed the defensive coach, so maybe that's their thought. But I don't know. I think that, again, ever since the Soros signing, it feels like a lot of decisions they made haven't made a lot of sense. Sean says that Cody Ceci is awful. Remove him from your talking points. And Barry Trotz is freaking done with David Poyle's players. So let's stop here for a second. Let's talk about Cody Ceci. All Cody Ceci does is play on the right side for teams that end up in the Stanley Cup final or in the Western Conference final, which is a lot better than you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, before you talk bad about Cody Ceci, and Cody Ceci may not even want to come here, and I don't even think he's that good anyways, but before you talk bad about Cody Ceci, can we take a second and talk about the fact that your top right shot defenseman is Justin Barron? He's awful. Last week, I told Trotz on the program, I'm like, Justin Barron is awful. And Trotz was like, you got to give him a chance. I'm like, isn't that what last year was? Last year was his chance. And he was awful. So let's be nice when it comes to Cody Ceci. The idea that Barry Trotz is done with David Poyle's players. I will say this. Have you noticed? I heard Vingan bring this up today about the opening day lineup from last year. Now, Scott Wedgwood was the goalie, and that was a Barry Trotz signing. And Scott Wedgwood is gone. But outside of that, Gus Nyquist and Luke Shin were Trotz guys. Everybody else, Poyle guys, Carrier, Fabro, Sissons. Right now, the Poyle guys include the, you know, contracts you can't move, and Soros, whom Barry loves, and Michael McCarron and Cole Smith. That's pretty much it. But you can't put this on David Poyle. You can't put this terrible trade today on David Poyle, or what looks like a terrible trade. Let me be frank. I don't know Nick Hague, but the one thing I say about Nick Hague is this. If I've never heard who you are, it's called the Mikhail Granlin rule. If I've never heard of you, you probably suck. Because for years, the Predators have added players via trade who I've never heard of, and for years, as soon as they add those players, the with all due respect, the Chris Masons and the Hal Gills tell me how good that player's going to be. And I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. And then about 3 weeks into it, I'm like, why the hell did you trade for this Kyle Turris? He doesn't do anything. Why the hell did you trade for Mikhail Granlund? He's not any good. If I've never heard of you, you're probably not very good. The guys I've heard of when they've traded for him, no, look, I heard of Wayne Simmonds, and he wasn't very good. But the guys I've heard of, I heard of P.K. Subban when they traded for him. One texter says, Haugen Nashville is a second-pair defenseman. He was buried a bit by Vegas with how good their defensive core was, but it still doesn't address the right-handed defenseman situation. Barron is fine. He's young, too. Barron sucks. Let's move off of him for a second. Now back to Haug. Here's the problem. What the Predators really need is they really need a first-pair right-shot defenseman. They need to put that guy with Brady Shea. So if I had acquired Rasmus Anderson, for instance, I would have put Rasmus Anderson with Brady Shea because that would have been my shutdown pair, and it would have been my top penalty-killing unit, which is what they need. If Yossi's on one pair and Haug is on the other pair, and Shea's on another pair, one of those guys has to be the third pair defenseman. And it's not going to be the $9 million guy, and it's not going to be the $7 million guy. So I guess you're going to go from the $2 million guy to the $5 million guy who plays like the $2 million guy. And don't give me this Vegas decor so good kind of stuff. I've seen this all the time. Some guy's a good player on the Chiefs. He signs a deal somewhere else. He stinks, and he goes back to the Chiefs. Matthew from Jolton says Dante Fabbro had 26 points and was plus 23 for Columbus. Damn. That's bad. One texter says, can you get Greg Wyshynski, Elliot Friedman, or Darren Drager on the radio station to explain how Vegas manages to get to trade for all the best players without ever going over the cap? So we know that Vegas abuses the LTIR. But I do wonder when it comes to Vegas and their salary cap with how they do this so that every single year there's a player on the market that's like, well, we're hearing Johnny Joe might be looking for a trade out of, you know, pick a random team that sucks, Utah. And somehow, every time, Johnny Joe ends up in Vegas. Whether it's Mark Stone or Thomas Hertl or Jack Eichel or whomever, Noah Hanifin, they always end up there. But maybe some of that is because teams like you give them Colton Sissons at half off. I mean, I'm looking at their cap right now. The Vegas Golden Knights, currently, pre-Mitch Marner, because I do not see Marner and his $12 million on here. Pre-Mitch Marner, the Vegas Golden Knights are at $2.1 million in terms of what they have as far as the cap is concerned. So in order to get to $12 million, they'd have to get rid of 10. So that means getting rid of Mark Stone at 9.5, who's got a no-movement clause, which I don't think they can do. Thomas Hertl, who's got a modified no-trade clause at 6.7. William Karlsson, modified no-trade clause, 10 teams at 5.9. Ivan Barbashev at 5. I mean, I'm guessing they're going to have to get rid of Karlsson and Barbashev? Oh, never mind. Figured it out. Sorry. Figured it out. They've got Alex Pietrangelo on long-term injured reserve at $8.8 million. There you go. There's your money. That's how they did it. I'm a little surprised that the Predators didn't try to, you know, get one of those top six forwards as part of the deal. Instead of getting the crappy defenseman, why didn't they try to go after, I don't know who's on the modified no-trade clause for Thomas Hertl, but why not go after Thomas Hertl? But again, the Predators, they want the bad players, I guess. Who knows? Merle in Mount Juliet says, you said the magic word prospect. They are all prospects and have to earn their playing time. I'll tell you this about Brady Martin right now. Brady Martin's not earning any playing time. Brady Martin, if they want to make him the second-line center, he'll be the second-line center. Why? Because of where they picked him. It's like Cam Ward. You really think there's going to be a competition at the quarterback spot? Even if I was the coach of the Titans, and you know how hell-bent I am on not running Cam Ward out there before he's ready, Cam Ward's playing time would not be determined by merit. It would be determined by whether or not Cam Ward is ready. And so I would sit him for the first two games against Denver and the Rams so I can get that Denver defense and Jared Verse in the rearview mirror and then put Cam Ward out there to have success. But that's not merit-based. That is strategically based for the best interest of my high investment. When it comes to Brady Martin, that's what he is. He is a high investment. And so that, I believe, will be their focus, will be how they take care of their investment. One texter in the text line says, Vegas is putting Pietrangelo on the LTIR. Man, that is so nice. So nice. Apparently, it's pronounced Nicholas Haug. No, excuse me, Haig. Whatever. I'd say the trade, man, that's the thing that I still don't totally understand. One texter says, the trade gets worse by the hour. I mean, the Predators signed their third-line defenseman to a $5.5 million contract, and Florida extends their top defenseman to a $6.5 million contract. Trotz should be sued for GM malpractice. One texter says, I think the thing that excites me the most about the Brady Martin pick is that he was still putting up good numbers with one of the worst teams in the WHL with the Scarbini linemates compared to Hagans playing with an elite NCAA team and elite teammates. How versatile his game reminds me a lot more of Mark Scheifele than Mike Fisher and some of the other comparisons out there. I would have preferred Hagans, but I am genuinely excited for Martin, and I will buy his jersey on day one. If I'm getting Mark Scheifele, I'm okay with it. If I'm getting Mark Scheifele that is so tough and such a competitor and is just out, fine, sold, done. But am I getting that? 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program. That's 615-737-1025. A massive, and I mean massive trade in the NFL today. I mean massive in general, but massive. I mean massive for July in the NFL. We'll hit it next. Don't make a company. 125 the game.
Huge news early. Jalen Ramsey's now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Whoa! Wow.
Jonnu Smith, also a Pittsburgh Steeler. Minka Fitzpatrick, no longer a Steeler. He's once again a Miami Dolphin, alongside a couple late round draft swaps almost between the Steelers and the Dolphins. Huge news this morning. Jalen Ramsey being traded had been a conversation that's been taking place for like a month now. Had a big price tag, like $24 million or something along those lines. Who was going to pay? Who was going to make the trade? Who was going to have Jalen Ramsey on their team? At the age of 30, still in the middle of his prime, nine-year NFL vet Darius J. Butler, do we agree?
Very much so. Very much in his prime. Just got re-upped, what, a couple years ago? So hate to see him leaving the Dolphins, obviously.
A lot of people, obviously, Darius Butler, massive Dolphins fan, yeah. South Florida boy. Mm-hmm. But he has picked up some other teams as well because the Miami Dolphins have not had much success. Now, when they bring Jalen in, they bring Tyreek in, obviously they draft Tua, they start spending all their resources on trying to win in a big way, and now it basically everybody's gone. Ramsey was supposed to go back maybe to L.A. to be on the Rams. Then the Steelers conversation started to kind of chime in. Now we know Jalen is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Minka Fitzpatrick is now a Miami Dolphin. And Jonnu Smith, who's a tight end for the Miami Dolphins, that was allegedly being shopped to the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last few weeks. But was he just trying to get a deal done?
There you go. That was the McAfee Show earlier today. How about that big old baddie of a trade in the middle of July for the NFL? Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith for Minka Fitzpatrick. Now, after the fact, people will start spinning narratives about why they're making these trades, and I don't really get too into that. You know, for instance, they talked about, I think it was Albert Breer, who I think is the most plugged-in reporter in the NFL. Albert Breer put out there, hey, Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins, who comes from the Ravens. The Ravens have Kyle Hamilton at safety, and they view Minka Fitzpatrick as kind of the same thing, so this was an important blah, blah, blah. I don't buy that. What I think happened is Minka Fitzpatrick makes a lot of money. So do the other two. So instead of the Steelers just paying a bunch of money and not getting rid of any money, they're going to get rid of a little bit of money. The Dolphins are still going to save some money, and then they're going to let Minka Fitzpatrick walk as a free agent, or they'll probably try to deal him around the trade deadline. So here's what this deal looks like to me. Forget about what everybody says about it. Forget about, again, what it looks like to me. Number one. The Pittsburgh Steelers have decided, if for nothing else for a year or two, they're going to be very un-Steeler-like. The Steelers like to draft, the Steelers like to develop, and then the Steelers like to let people go. Every now and then there's a Jerome Bettis who the Steelers acquire, but that's really more the exception than the rule. How many guys have the Steelers signed to multi-year deals that they've really banked on over the years? It's been a couple. Ben, Cam Hayward. But a lot of times it's, we use up Le'Veon Bell, then he goes. Antonio Brown, we didn't see eye to eye, he goes. So this idea of the Steelers going out and getting a bunch of big names, that's not the Steelers we're used to. I almost kind of wonder if Mike Tomlin is done with being 9-7. And if Mike Tomlin has said, you know what, screw it, just give me some players and let's try it. It feels very much like the Predators last year of, we're going to go out and get a bunch of old pawpaws and we're going to put it together and you will see this will work. But who am I to judge? Again, they're not the Predators. They're the Steelers. And those are different players. It's not Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady, Shea. I don't want this to turn everybody off from old people. Because just because your old guys didn't work doesn't mean their old guys won't work. I don't think it'll work for the Steelers. But if I'm the Steelers, I might as well be a massive disappointment or a massive success story and go from there. So I appreciate it. It's a very un-Steeler-like. This is not how they operate. That would be like Jerry Jones getting out ahead of something and signing a bunch of guys early instead of signing them late. It would be like the Bengals signing a bunch of guys in unrestricted free agency. It would be like the Titans keeping good players. They just don't do it. Then there's the Dolphins side of this. The Dolphins are tanking, okay? Last year they signed Tua to the contract, and Tua got the concussions, and Tua's not good in big games anyways. But they're stuck because some of these contracts are immovable, and it's guys like Tyreek Hill, who they probably don't want to have to pay anymore, but they're going to suck it up for a year and see where they go. But the Dolphins are ultimately going to tear it down. I don't understand how the 85-year-old owner can keep going through these rebuilds, but he keeps going through these rebuilds. I think it looks like the Steelers got Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, and to make it a fair trade, they sent back Minkah Fitzpatrick. But I looked at Minkah Fitzpatrick's coverage stats last year. He was not very good. My guess is the Steelers think Minkah Fitzpatrick is done, and so they think they're upgrading by having Ramsey at either corner or safety and Jonnu Smith as an extra weapon for Aaron Rodgers now that George Pickens is gone. They've got Jonnu Smith as somebody that Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball to. But it is a sexy trade. I mean, it is a sexy. That is some big names in the middle of July for the NFL. Doesn't really move the needle for me on either guy or either team. But I will say this, I don't think that, this is me, I don't think the Titans, unless the Dolphins would have taken L'Jarius Sneed, who by the way claims that he's healthy, I do not think that the Dolphins would have taken what I would have done, which is pick swapping my way to getting Ramsey and Jonnu and paying the money. But I do think the Steelers will be a better team because of this trade. Coy in Clarksville says, so are the Titans not going to get veteran tight end help that can help Cam Ward security? So are the Titans not going to get a veteran tight end that can be Cam Ward's security blanket? Or are they just going to roll the dice with Chig, who has one big catch a year? You must have a reliable tight end for a young quarterback to succeed in this league. Coy, I want you to know something. I have taken that exact sentiment and complaint to the highest levels at Titan management. And my sense is they're going to roll the dice with Chig and hope that the young quarterback can overcome it. I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance Titans are going to ruin Cam Ward. I'm not rooting for it. I think Cam's got talent. I think he belongs in the first round. But I think there's a chance the Titans are going to ruin Cam Ward. And not having a tight end for him, I think, is part of the equation. Evan Bouchard stays in Edmonton with a 4-year, $10.5 million contract. How is it that Florida can get Aaron Ekblad to take $6.1 million, but Edmonton can't get Bouchard to take less? Maybe it has something to do with, I don't know, the taxes and the fact that Ekblad didn't want to leave because it's Florida during the winter. I don't think it's the end-all be-all of why the Panthers are good, but I certainly think it matters. 615-737-1025 here in the program, 615-737-1025. So there's a one thing when it comes to the Predators that I hate that I'm about to say. I hate it, but I got to say it. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.